and worship him right now. Thank you, Lord. God, we worship you. We magnify your holy name. What an awesome God you are. What a mighty God you are. Jesus, we worship you. We worship you today. What a mighty God we serve. I'm thankful to be in his house today. Amen. I'm thankful for all he's done. God's doing big things. I've talked to some friends of mine that aren't even in California. They're in other states. And we had all met at a crusade and done some training and different things. Anyways, it's not just in California. It's everywhere. God is moving. There is revival sweeping this nation. I believe that America is coming to a place of, God help us to get to a place of repentance and turning from our ways. But there's hungry souls everywhere. And I've talked to, like I said, multiple friends that even in their own church are experiencing revival. There's people that are coming in that have been gone for a long time. People that were bound that have been delivered. The sick getting healed. That sounds like Acts to me. That sounds just like out of the Bible where we get our pattern of how we're supposed to be. And so I'm thankful that God's doing it right here at Real Life Church. He's doing miracles. There's things that I'm watching unfold that I'm so thankful to be a part of. But today I have a word from God. I believe that he's laid on my heart, and I want to share that today. If you would turn with me to Psalm chapter and verse 1. Psalms chapter 1, verse 1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth its fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Let's ask God to help us today. Humbly, God, I come before you right now. I ask that you would speak through me, God. Help me to give the word that you've put on my heart. Oh, God, help us today. Open our minds, open our hearts to receive your word. Let me flow like a conduit, God, for you. In the name of Jesus, we give you all the praise and glory. In Jesus' name, you may be seated today. Today, I want to talk a little bit about trees. Now, if you were like me in school, science was not your favorite subject, especially when it came to the dissections in biology. I was okay never having done that, but I had to graduate, and I still remember it. And I remember one of the years, though, of school, I can't remember exactly when, is the year that you learn about plants. And I remember we took a bean and this wet paper towel, and you put it in a Ziploc baggie and you tape it to the window. And every day we would run and go see if that bean had grown. And for the first little while, nothing seemed to happen. But next thing you know, it's like, wow, something's growing. There's something kind of growing out of that bean that I put in there. And a little while would go by, and all of a sudden you'd see that short little green spout or shoot start to come out of that bean. And day by day, that little bean that I had planted became an actual plant and began to grow into an actual plant. And while that project was interesting and actually fun to watch grow, botany, the study of plants, still never became a passion of mine. But a few weeks ago, I felt like the Lord dropped this message into my spirit. And so I don't want to bore you today with a bunch of scientific, technical information, but I do want to look at a few characteristics about trees and their roots. When we go to Sequoia, Yosemite, redwoods that are towering high and it draws millions and millions of people each year, those big giant trees, the giants as they call them, started from a simple seed, a tiny little seed. If you've eaten apples or oranges or carrots or broccoli, all of that, whatever other fruits and vegetables you may enjoy, it all started from a seed. You see, the first thing that happens that almost all types of seeds experience when they get planted into good, fertile soil is the emergence of what's called a primary root or a radical. This root's job is to push straight down and to find water and nutrients and to push it up to the plant above. And if this radical in the process is damaged or decays, that seedling will die. And in some plants, this radical will spread into a bunch of different little roots as it grows. Other times, it goes straight down into what is called a taproot. It's a large, strong anchor root. Has anybody in here ever had a carrot? I'm not talking about the little Grimway Farm-shaped baby carrots, but I'm talking about the Bugs Bunny long, pointed carrot. Those long carrots that you can go buy at the grocery store. That carrot is actually a taproot that you are eating. The plant above, I've seen it before, it's a leafy green plant, looks like any other plant to me. But as you pull it up, there's this big, massive root that goes straight down. And that's what we actually eat and get the nutrients from. That is the taproot. Roots, they serve a purpose. The main three things of a root is to absorb the nutrients and the water that's found below the soil. They also store those nutrients and food for the plant, as well as anchoring the tree to the ground. Roots are like these highways that minerals and water can get transported from soil and from beneath the ground up to the rest of the tree. When we look at our life, I find several close parallels to this growth process of a plant. No wonder throughout your Bible, Jesus, along with many others, references plants and growth and trees frequently as an analogy or comparison. If we are going to live a life that's pleasing to God while we're here on this earth, we're going to have to put down some strong roots. We're going to have to put down strong roots. These roots are the only thing that's going to keep you grounded and anchored in the storms and trials of a life. Solid, sustained growth, which I think every person in here wants to be a part of. I know I don't want to stop growing because things that stop growing are dead. If something stops growing, it's dead. And so I want to continue to grow. And if I'm going to continue to grow, then I've got to have a solid root system. If I'm going to produce fruits of the Spirit, that is, then first I've got to make up my mind. I'm going to tap into some resources and some nutrients that are going to bring about that kind of fruit. And I can tell you very confidently that they are found in the Word of God. As I read my Bible, I can almost feel the begin to get pumped up into my soul. And many times as I'm reading, if not almost every time, it's like God begins to speak right to where I'm at. Can I tell you, this book wasn't just written a long time ago, and it's just something that sits on a shelf as a history book or a manual, but no, it's more than that. You see, it's alive and breathing and well, and it feeds my soul. It is the living Word of God. But getting to those spiritual nutrients that are hidden in this Word, the things that are going to keep me in life, that are going to help me build a strong foundation, it takes a concentrated effort. It's like that taproot. We got to dig straight down into a strong connection that's founded on the Word of God. It's got to become our lifeline that all the other roots are connected to. It's got to become the most important part of our entire foundation. Jesus in Matthew chapter 13, verse 3, it says, "He spake many things unto them in parables, saying, Behold, a sower went forth to sow. And when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up. Some fell on stony places where they had not much earth. And forthwith they sprung up because they had no deepness of earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched. And it says, because they had no root, they withered away. Some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them. But other fell into good ground and brought forth fruit, some 100-fold, some 60-fold, some 30-fold. It's important that we, the soil that the Word of God gets planted into, our heart is like a rich soil bed, and it's up to us how we're going to keep it. Is it going to be ready to receive? Is it going to be good ground? Is it going to be stony ground? Is it going to be thorny ground? What's it going to look like? But if we'll keep that soil ready, the roots from the Word of God will begin to take place in our life. If we don't, if that soil's not ready to receive it, then those roots can't grow, and eventually that plant will die. Hosea chapter 10 verse 12 says, sow to yourselves in righteousness, reap in mercy, break up your fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord, till he come and rain righteousness upon you. What is that fallow ground? It's ground that hadn't been planted in a long time. It's ground that's gotten hard and cold and stony. But he says, it's our job to sow in the righteousness. It's our job to reap from it. It's our job to go to that stony heart and break it up and get it to a place where it says, God, I'm ready to receive from you. It's up to us to say, it's time to seek the Lord. He's available. He's waiting. But are we going to do it? Because Hosea said in the next verse, he's talking to Israel. He said, you have plowed wickedness and reaped iniquity. You've eaten the fruit of lies. Why? Because you did trust in your own way and in the multitude of thy mighty men. You see, unless I'm rooted in the Word of God, I'm not going to be producing fruits of the Spirit. Because the fruits of the Spirit are not things that my flesh wants to produce. It's not things that my flesh desires. But oh, if I want to produce the fruits of the Spirit, then I've got to be rooted into the Word of God. When I do things my way and I'm using my wisdom and my knowledge, it only leads to destruction. It's not a solid foundation that I can be rooted in. Man's wisdom is not a very sure foundation. At best, it's good for knowledge, but it's not something that I want to stake my life on, is man's knowledge. Proverbs chapter 14, verse 12 says, there is a way which seems right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. It's man's knowledge does not get you to heaven. Man's knowledge does not help you navigate the tough things of life. Oh, it's good to have knowledge. I'm for it. And there's things that we gain knowledge and we know how to fix and we know how to do. But can I tell you, at the end of the day, the Word of God is where I want to base all my life. Colossians chapter 2, verse 6. He says, as ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him, established in the faith as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. He said, beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. If we are not strongly rooted in the Word of God, it's easy to get led astray by the voices that are in our world today. There's popular opinion. There's powerful leaders in religious denominations and sects of religion that can turn us away and can lead us astray. I've watched it. I preached on it a week or whenever it was I preached last time about the Calvinists that I had encountered that was so led astray, and it's heartbreaking to see how someone could be navigated and moved away from the truth that's found in the Word of God. But can I tell you how that happens? It's because I don't have a firm foundation on the Word of God. Paul said, if we'll be rooted and built up in him, if we will be established as we've been taught. Oh, I still believe you need a preacher. I believe that when that eunuch was out in the middle of the desert and Philip came to him and he was reading Isaiah. And Philip said, "Do you understand what you're reading?" And he said, "No, how could I unless someone shows me?" I still believe God calls a preacher in our life to tell us and show us how to interpret the word of God. But when I go through and I'm digging into the word, and then all of a sudden I come and I hear it preached from a pulpit, can I tell you, it begins to grow on the inside. Something on the inside begins to form, and it's a strength and it's a rooting that all of a sudden, whenever man comes with their philosophies and their ideas and things that are not biblical, I know where I stand. It's amazing to me. The things, the doctrines that the world pushes today, there's some of them that sound really good. I've heard them. In fact, there was one recently that, good thing I had prayed. Because I'm telling you, it sounds so good. They can twist the scripture. Something can be twisted and turned that all of a sudden it fits with me fitting into the word of God, but rather taking the word of God and fitting it into whatever I want. And I find it interesting. It's a whole nother message, but I find it very interesting that it's after this that Paul writes in verse 9, something that directly contradicts one of the most popular religious teachings of our entire day, the doctrine of the triune God or the Trinity. Let me tell you, if you are not rooted in the truth and what the Bible says, then false doctrine can lead you astray. But oh, when I dig into the word, I find where he said, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord." Whenever I dig into his word, I find that Jesus Christ, in him dwelleth the fullness of the Godhead bodily. I still find where there's truths in this word, but they're not always popular. They're not always popular. It takes digging into it. It takes really diving in. It takes that taproot pushing down every day in prayer. And every day I'm reading my Bible saying, "God, will you root me? God, will you connect me? God, will you pump it into me?" Deuteronomy 29:18, he said, "Lest there should be among you man, woman, family, or tribe whose heart turned away this day from the Lord our God to go and serve the gods of these nations. Lest there should be among you a root that beareth gall and wormwood." That sounds like a bunch of Old Testament lingo, and it is. But let me just tell you what it is. He's saying if you turn from what this Bible says, if you turn from the law of God, can I tell you, you will find yourself astray. That begins to offshoot is a root that starts to bear things that aren't right. Gall and wormwood are not things that you want to bear. It's an offshoot. It's something that takes you a different direction. You're going to produce whatever's been planted in your life, whatever you're seeking after, whatever you establish your root system in, that is what will begin to show above the ground visibly. Roots are hidden. They're not something that you see. Yes, I know sometimes some come above the ground, but generally speaking, those are not the strength anchor roots of a tree. Those are the roots that went looking for more, for water, for looking for other things. But underneath all that is a system that's dug way down that you'll never see. But I promise you, what you see when you go up to a tree, you're seeing the result of what's been planted underneath. You're seeing what no one else sees is now being manifested on the outside when you see the tree. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. It's so important for us to diligently watch what we're letting our root system absorb. It's so important because even when you look at a regular tree, if one root gets damaged, it directly affects another branch somewhere up on the tree. Many times, they've done experiments where they will damage on purpose or cut off a root on the left side of the tree. And suddenly, you will see a branch way up there on the left side of the tree
that ends up dying. Sometimes it's random. Sometimes it's not just directly left to left or right to right. It can be in other places on the tree. But one thing they concluded is that damaged roots lead to damaged branches. And oh, how that applies to our life. If we've got roots that are not rooted in the right places, then it's going to breed things in our life that are not in the right places. I've never found somebody that walks away from God. I've never found somebody that's head over heels in sin, that planned on getting there. But you can almost always trace it back to a time when they let something into their life that all of a sudden it grew and it sprouted. And next thing you know, it's pointing in the wrong direction. Hebrews 12:15. Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. You can spend a long time and preach a whole sermon just off that verse. But when you let bitterness get into that root system, it's like a cancer. It doesn't just affect a little portion of your life, but it starts showing up everywhere. It starts showing up everywhere. I've personally experienced people that I love, people I was close to, people that I've worked with, that bitterness ate them up. Bitterness, what started so small, all of a sudden has consumed them. Instead of enjoying the good things of living for God, instead of enjoying their family, enjoying the things that life does have that are good, instead of experiencing the joy of the Lord, they're consumed with a rotten hatred and bitterness that will turn everything in life sour. It's a negative, depressed, miserable life that they live. And how did they get there? By unforgiveness. Someone, somewhere, sometime did them wrong. I have met people that can remember all the way back to elementary school that are older than my parents, that literally can remember what Johnny did way back in elementary school and still haven't forgave him. There's people that they're hung up on things that have happened in history, and they're so consumed by the things that they cannot change that happened way before they were even ever born. And now they walk around consumed with a hatred and a bitterness. I've watched it over and over in my life. People that have let this root of bitterness grow. And that's why the writer of Hebrews said, be careful that bitterness does not start springing up to trouble you. Because when it does, it's going to destroy everything in your life. And rather than praying and truly forgiving the offender, they harbor this victim mindset of injustice. Let me tell you, I've been through it in my life. I've had things done wrong. There's been things and times that I had to really get over some bitterness that was trying to grow. We've all probably been there. But can I tell you how you know whether you've really forgiven somebody? Is when you can pray that God will bless them and actually mean it, even if they haven't apologized yet. Oh, I find where Jesus in Matthew 5:44, he told his disciples, love your enemies and bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. If you really want to not harbor bitterness, then you've got to love like Jesus does. Oh, how does that work? Well, when they nailed him on the cross and he's bloody and he's been beaten, the only words that I find him saying are, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. I've got a long ways to go to get there. I struggle with it in life. But can I tell you, if we want to really be like Jesus, then we've got to do what he said and love our enemies. We've got to go to those wounds on the inside and say, God, they haven't even apologized. I don't even think they're sorry yet. But oh God, will you bless them? Oh God, will you help them? Oh God, help them. Help them. For some, that desire and that constant pursuit of money has became their root system. Now, I'm not against money. It takes money to run things.
It takes money to keep the lights on in this building. It takes money to put gas in your car. It takes money to pay your PG&E bill. It takes money if you want to eat. I am all for having money, but there is a level, there is a point where we can get that we are so consumed by a drive and a pursuit, the love of money, that now all of a sudden it becomes a bad root in our system. Luke 18:18. Jesus said, as a parable, a certain ruler asked him, saying, "Good master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus said unto him, "Why callest thou me good? None is good save one, that is God. Thou knowest the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not kill. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Honor thy father and thy mother." And he said, "All these I've kept from my youth up." He's thinking, man, I'm on my way to eternal life. And when Jesus heard these things, he said unto him, "Yet lackest thou one thing." Now, what's interesting is this is not a commandment. This is not one of the Ten Commandments. But for this man, there was something in the way. There was something that had became a root, and he built his foundation on. And so Jesus, recognizing that, said, "You lack one thing. Sell all that you have and distribute it unto the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven. And come, follow me." And the Bible says when he heard this, he was very sorrowful, for he was very rich. And other writers that I read you out of Luke, Matthew or Mark, I don't remember which one, talks about how he went away grieved and sorrowful. Can I tell you, this man couldn't let go of what had became his foundation. Oh, I don't believe Jesus is against money. Whenever it was time for taxes, he told Peter to go catch a fish and get the money out of its mouth and go pay his taxes. I don't believe that it's wrong to use money as a tool, but I do believe it's wrong to base my foundation and my pursuit in life on the chasing after the love of money. I do believe it's wrong whenever it becomes an idol in my life, and it's more important than church, and it's more important than the Bible, and it's more important than prayer, and next thing you know, I'm consumed by this just one more dollar mentality. 1 Timothy 6:10, he said, "For the love of money is the root of all evil." It's the love of money. It's not money in and of itself, but it's that. Are you seeing what's happening? It's what we're going to focus our attention on. Where am I going to push my roots into? Am I going to push them into man's logic? Am I going to push them into a foundation of financial success? Or am I going to push them into the Word of God? A root system that's built on just money ain't going to last. The richest men of our world today, when it's all said and done, all the money, all the assets, the empires that have been built, it will not matter one single bit. Judgment Day puts everybody on a level playing field. The only thing, the single, solitary, only thing that's going to matter on that day is your name in the Lamb's Book of Life. It doesn't matter how much money I had. It doesn't matter what I accomplished in life. It doesn't matter the assets I have. It doesn't, man, none of that matters. What matters is, did I make it? Did I live a life pleasing to God? Was my foundation strong enough that I made it through life, that now all of a sudden I'm standing with my name in the Lamb's Book of Life? I'm getting ready to close. You say, "Preacher, I've been seeking and I've been sowing the things of God, but I'm not seeing fruit yet. I've been doing everything you've said. I've been praying. I've been living right. I've been faithful in my giving. I've been reading my Bible. I've been every day. I've been doing the best I can, but I still have not seen it come to pass." There are some trees that take a long time to grow. There are some trees that grow fast, and there are some trees that grow slow. But I find in Galatians 6:9, he said, "Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not." There is a harvest that comes. I promise you, when you've rooted and you've planted in the Word of God and you're founded on truth, I promise you, you will reap. You will reap, if nothing else, there's a life everlasting that is not in a place called hell. That's enough for me to want to root my life right here. But there's other benefits. There's other sides to it in just this life. There's life that can be found in the Word of God. Jeremiah 17, verse 7 says, "Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, whose hope the Lord is. For he shall be as a tree planted by the waters, that spreads out her roots by the river, and shall not see when heat cometh. But her leaf shall be green, and shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit." I read it as part of my text, Psalms 1 and 3. "And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf shall not wither, and whatsoever."
Can I tell you, I want to be planted by those rivers of living water. I want to be planted on something that's alive. Oh, when you're planted on the Word of God, it doesn't matter what happens around you. The storms can rage, life can happen, but you'll still be standing because you've tapped in to the waters that are still alive. You've tapped into the Spirit of God that gives you the power and the nutrients that you need to make it through. So I ask, as we stand, what's your root system made of today? Is it rooted in the Word? Is it rooted in the things of God? Is that where you find your root system? Or is it rooted on things of the world and carnal and man's wisdom and philosophies? I would not be standing here today, I do not believe, if it was not for my great-great-granny. To my knowledge, she was a
nation of truth. Was the first one that really dug in and pushed that taproot down, way down into a life of prayer and the Word of God. And my grandma lived a life of up and down and just chaos growing up. But Granny's steadfastness and Granny's walk with God and that taproot and that root system that had been built on living for God, it carried my grandmother through. And it carried down through the generations. Even after Granny was gone, it got passed down to my father. And now today I stand here as a result of someone that dug a deep, deep root system. Can I tell you, we don't realize how it affects our children. We don't realize how our walk with God affects those around us. You can change an entire generation. You can change your family tree by rooting on the Word of God. I wonder today if we could all just search our hearts and say, God, am I really rooted where you want me to be? Is my life rooted on your Word? And if it is, then my prayer has become, oh God, I want to go deeper. Oh God, I want more. Oh God, will you take me to an even deeper level with you? Will you draw me even deeper, even stronger in the Word, stronger and a closer walk with you? Is that your prayer today? Would you just talk to him right now? Jesus, we love you.
You know, as every head bowed and every eye is closed, we've heard, I believe, from the heart of God today. I believe we've heard something that matters deeply to God, and that is, hey, my child, my the one that I love, are you rooted deeply in my Word? Are you rooted in the things of me? Or are you so distracted by the things of the world that they've got your attention and your roots are reaching out and seeking for worldly wisdom and worldly knowledge? I wonder today if there's somebody that would be willing to join me in recommitting and rededicating our heart to God today. God, I'm not going to just ignore your Word. I'm not going to just skate past it. But God, I realize that my future in eternity relies on it and depends on it today. I don't know where you are in life. I don't know exactly what your struggles or challenges are. But can I tell you that living for God doesn't mean that it's in cream. And it doesn't mean that you're not going to have troubles and trials. The difference is you're walking with the King. And when life happens to you, the King is still walking with you. Oh, today, is there somebody that would help me in rededicating their life? This altar area up here is open. If you want to come and kneel at chairs or sit down here, if you want to pray where you're at, whatever you need. But I wonder today if we could take just a few moments before we dismiss and move out into some fellowship. Can we just take a few moments
and begin to reach for God. Just like those roots begin to reach for the nutrients and the water that it needs, can we reach for God today? Let's seek Him right now for a few moments. Sing. I wonder if there's somebody that perhaps you never made a real start for Jesus, or if you have, you've gotten away from it. Today'd be a good day. Today'd be a good day if you've never made a start for Jesus to make a start for Him today. We know per the Bible that He died for the whole world. He gave His life that all could be saved. He paid it all. His sacrifice covered it all. There's nothing we could do to buy it, nothing we could do to earn it. But can I say that if we don't do something to receive it, we're going to die without Him. Otherwise, everybody would be saved. Live like you want. Live like the devil. And then be saved in the end. No. Jesus has said, "Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly." Can I say that Jesus has eternal life? Think about that. Jesus has eternal life for each and every one of us. But if we don't seek Him, if we don't take advantage of Him, one of these days we're going to hear Him say, "Depart from me, ye workers of iniquity." But oh, when we repent of all of our sins, when we submit to His command of being baptized in the name of Jesus Christ so that our sins can be remitted, completely taken away, and then He comes to live within us through the infilling of His Spirit, through the Holy Ghost coming into us. I don't know how you are, but I don't want to gamble. I don't want to take a gamble. If it's been a while and you feel like you've strayed away from God, be a good time to get back right now. Be a good time to say, "Lord, I'm sorry. This is a fresh start. I'm pushing the reset button. And God, I'm depending on you to do the rest. Would you help me today?" Oh, it's a good time to repent. If you need prayer today for something in your body, if there's something that there's a sickness or a problem in your body and you want prayer, I would encourage you just come up to the front here. We'll do like they did in the Bible days. We'll take some oil and I'll anoint you with oil, and God can do a miraculous thing in your body. If you have a financial need, if you have a relational need somewhere, if you have an emotional need somewhere, If you're troubled and struggling, if you don't see any hope for your future, if you want some prayer, if you want me to pray with you, I'll be glad to do that. Just step right up here, and I'll do that right now. I know there's needs in the house today, and Jesus is the meter of all of our needs.
Brand new songs, some that are just relatively new. Sometimes we sing the old songs, and both carry a great message. Each one appeals to perhaps different age groups or different preferences. But I will tell you the message of this old song, Draw Me Nearer. Draw Me Nearer. You know, it reminds me of a song that they sing that says, you know, I can't even walk without you holding my hand. The mountain's too tall and the valley's too wide. Down on my knees, that's where I learn to stand. I can't even walk without you holding my hand. I wish that I could tell you that I've always done it right. I really do. I wish I could tell you that I've got an impeccable record and I've never disappointed God, disappointed my family, disappointed my loved ones, that I've never fallen off the wagon. But you know, the thing I have found in my life, in my experience, is that when I stop doing, you know, there's a lot of conversations in today's world about faith versus works, but when I stop doing the food to make me strong, it's just like in the river's current. If there's a current in the river, and you and I are sitting on a little boat in the river, and we stop paddling against the current, we're going to go whichever way the current goes. And that's what I have realized in my life, that I just begin to drift a little bit. And I don't even know I'm drifting. It's calm. Everything's good. I begin to drift a little bit. But it's not long before I find that I'm a long ways away from where I need to be. And you know, when you fall off the wagon, so to speak, there's one of two things that happens. Because I promise you, the enemy of your soul is saying, oh, wow, I finally seduced him to get close to the edge, and then he fell off the wagon. And now he's out of the wagon. Well, there's two things we can do. We can either stay out of the wagon or we can get back in. That's just the choice. And sometimes you've got to run a little bit to catch the wagon because it's still moving. It didn't stop for you. But you know, God helps us. While the enemy's there trying to hold us down and keep us down laying in the dirt and not wanting us to get back up, God's there to help us up and say, listen, my child, come on, come on, I'll help you. I'll help you get back in the wagon, and I'll help you stay there this time, but you got to surrender everything to me. And that's probably the biggest struggle that I've had, especially in my growing up years and my early adult years, and I still struggle with it now sometimes, is full surrender to God. Because you see, there's certain things that I enjoy in life that I like that are worldly in a sense. Some of them may not conflict with biblical principles, but they may still pull me away to the edge of the wagon. And God says, you don't need that. It might be okay for some other people, but for you, you need the wagon. And that full surrender to say, God, I'm not just going to say, oh, well, let's see now. Wait, show me where I can't do that in the Bible. No, there's no, it goes beyond that. There's things that are against your covenant laws in marriage. There's some things that are just against the covenant laws. It's not okay if you're going to be married. But there's other things that you can do to displease your spouse and bring them hurt or pain. That doesn't mean you can't be married to them. Doesn't mean that they're gonna walk out. But the hurt, there's certain things that they're not pleased with. And when we get beyond just legalistic, and I will tell you, this is the foundation. If it's in here, we better do it. But just as he preached today, it goes beyond that. We're digging roots in our relationship with Jesus that if he's not pleased with me wearing a blue suit, and I really found that out and felt it heavy, you'll never see me in a blue suit again because I'm out to please him. I want him to be happy. It's not all about, well, Lord, what's the very minimum I have to do to make it to heaven? I want to take all of the scholarly wisdom about salvation and conversion and biblical living, and then I just want to make it. No. I want to love him on the way there. I want to be in such a relationship with him that I can walk down the street and I can say, Lord, that beautiful sunset you painted, thank you for it. I love you. But you see, whenever we're just barely living the minimum, there's an estrange. If you're just barely meeting your marital obligations and commitments, there's a strain, there's a friction, there's not a closeness between you and your spouse. But oh, when you're immersed and you say those best two words I ever learned, yes, dear. When you learn and you get to the place to where it's not all about just that, it's about what she loves and what she wants, and if I want to go to McDonald's and she doesn't like McDonald's and she'd rather go to Taco Bell, I'll tell you right now, we're going to Taco Bell. That's just all there is to it. Well, one man said, happy wife, happy life. I think it goes the other way too. Sometimes happy husband, happy life too, because you know us fellows, we can get a little bit hard to deal with sometimes, hard to live with sometimes. Amen. Except Brother Manuel and I. That's the only exception, of course. But it's so good to see you here, everybody.